ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम् विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम् बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम्
तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम्
बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां
बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां
विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम्
विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम्
बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि
बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि
तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम्
तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम्
हे पार्थ माम विद्धि मे यू नो मी मे यू अंडरस्टैंड मी व्हाट आई एम सनातनम बीजम विद्धि I am the timeless, beginningless, endless, eternal seed of all the beings. What does it mean? Eternal seed means what? No seed is eternal here, isn't it? Every time the seed has undergo a change for the sprouts to come, is it? Again, the plant, new plant has to produce new seeds. There is no permanent eternal seed. Seed means time-bound seed only. There is a seed which is the cause, which sprouts, the new sapling, new sprouts come, the sapling goes into a big plant, again it produces new seeds, again they produce new plants. Isn't it? But what does it mean, eternal seed? Which means Bhagavan is the only changeless, beginningless, endless source in which the universe continuously resolves and becomes manifest. It means Bhagavan's swarupam is essentially of the nature of, absolutely of the nature of changelessness. This para prakriti, you say, is of the nature of changelessness. And in that alone, this apara prakriti, obtaining of universe, exists. Whether it is manifest or unmanifest, whether universe is available for perception, enjoyment, experience, as a manifest universe, then where does it exist? It exists only in the reality. And when this universe, the apara prakriti, which is unmanifest universe, it is not available for perception or experience or enjoyment, then also where is it? Is there in the same reality. Whether the universe is manifest or unmanifest, the universe is not created newly, the universe also is always there. But there is a time it is manifest, there is a time it is not manifest. And that is the nature of the very matter. When it is manifest, where does it exist? Not outside of Bhagavan, the reality. And when it is unmanifest also, where is it? Not outside of Bhagavan. Isn't it? Therefore, always the only eternal seed means it is this reality which is of the nature of changelessness in which the universe becomes manifest. It is called a creation. The same it becomes unmanifest, it is called a dissolution. Again becomes manifest, which means that the substratum, the adhishtanam, the adhara of the universe is always Bhagavan as the pure knowledge. Therefore, sanatanam, sanatanam bijam mam vidhi. I am the only eternal seed of all the beings, means there's no being which exists outside of, independent of the reality. There's nothing. The whole jagat is always originates, exists and results in Bhagavan, who is the one of both the para and apara prakritis. And therefore he says, buddhir buddhimatam asmi. See, buddhiman is the one who is intelligent. One who is intelligent is called buddhiman. So I am the very intelligence in all the intelligent people. Intelligence means what? You are able to think correctly, you are able to discern properly, able to discriminate. There is the capacity to discern, distinguish and discriminate is what? Is intelligence. The intelligence in all the intelligent people is what? Is Bhagavan. Not only intelligent people are Bhagavan, the very intelligence is Bhagavan. So gross is also Bhagavan, subtle also is Bhagavan. Is it? The subtle which pervades the gross is also Bhagavan. Isn't it? Therefore, Tejasvinam Aham. So Tejasvinam Aham, the word Tejas again has different meanings in different contexts. Tejas means fire. Tejas means luster. Tejas means glow. Tejas means brilliance. And the Tejasvi means the brilliant. So you can say Tejasvi means the intellectually the brilliant person. Also called, the person may not look very brilliant out externally, but he may be a brilliant person. The intelligent, also called brilliant. So we have both Buddhiman and also Tejasvi. So here, intelligent also we can say, but here already the word has been said, the buddhimatam buddhihi, I'm the intelligence among of all the intelligent people, which means, what Tejasvi means, even in the Shastras we also understand. So when a person is given to living a very disciplined life, and if a person is given to the practice of chanting mantras or study of the Vedas, the repeated the focus attention a person is given to follow certain discipline strictly, and certain the study of the Shastras and scriptures, and living a clean life enjoined by the Shastram also, we say the person, because understanding of the Shastram, and as a result of living a clean, disciplined life, one has a certain amount of inner leisure, and that is always expressed in the form of brilliance. It's also called a Tejas. Say Brahma Varchas or Tejas. We also say, that's also called Tejas. The word Tejas is used in different contexts. So, Tejas Vinam, of those people who have the Tejas, I'm the very Tejas. I'm the very brilliance of the brilliant people, the intelligence of the intelligent people, and the very seed, which seed, not like any other seed which comes and goes, I am the ever only seed, from which everything always comes up and again in which everything dissolves also. I am the eternal seed, timeless seed, beginningless, endless, changeless seed of all the beings always. Which means never anything which exists comes or goes anywhere outside of me. It's like exactly like when the waves rise. Where do the waves rise? Not outside of water. And when the waves exist, where do they exist? In the water. When the waves resolve, where do they resolve? The same water. They can't go outside of the substance called water, isn't it? Never are the waves which originate, exist and resolve far from, outside of, distant from, apart from the water. Isn't it? They seem to be coming, they seem to be existing, they seem to be resolving. Really speaking, it all is happening where? Only in water. Because the way the waves move around, the way the waves come, the waves resolve, they seem to be moving also, isn't it? Now tell me, can the waves exist independent of the water? No. Therefore, what is a wave without water? Wave is a non-substantial form, isn't it? And the form itself, minus, without the water, the form cannot exist. The wave form cannot exist. How can the word wave will be meaningful? The word wave also will be meaningless word if the form is not there. Isn't it? The word nama and rupam, form and the name, the word denoting that form, they both are what? In their existence only in the water. Isn't it? Therefore, the form has no independent existence means the form cannot be counted. It is not countable. All the wave, you can count, you can say, I want to count, you know, 100 waves are there, 1,000 waves are there. We can count. We have no job means you can sit inside and count. But really speaking, all these waves, which seem to be innumerable, countless forms, called waves, and these waves, even though they seem to be so many, they draw your attention also. All attention is grabbed by these waves because their movement and jumping and roaring. Really speaking, they are non-countable. They do not have any countability. Okay? One wave or many waves or 1,000 waves, non-countable. Countability at all. Why? Because they do not have independent existence. They can't be counted as a parallel reality to the water. But water, whether there's a wave or not, water is there. Water can be without being a wave by itself as water. Water can be in the form of the wave also. So with reference to ocean, don't take wave is satyam, okay? Water satyam. I'm saying with reference to ocean, we say satyam, water is satyam, the waves are mithya. All the waves which constitute the ocean, the huge form also is mithya. Your mithya is non-count. Mithya is as good as non-existent. Mithya is satyam. Satyam is not mithya. So mithya, when you say mithya, it is not unreal. It is not absolutely non-existent because we're experiencing all the time. At the same time, the mithya, ocean and waves are not absolutely real also. Why? They do not have independent existence. So that which cannot be counted, cannot be negated as absolutely non-existent, defined as a non-existent, that which cannot be counted as a something absolutely real also, is called what? As though real, seemingly real, is called mithya. Okay? So the form and name ocean are waves, what? Mithya. Satyam is water with reference to ocean. And we can say the mithya ocean is satyam water, but satyam is not mithya. Because water is not ocean, water is not the waves, but all the waves, the entire ocean is satyam, but water only. Example has to become very clear first. In the kindergarten example, very, very basic example, simple example, it has to become very clear. Isn't it? The same way we say, here, the reality, the consciousness, which is said to be the paraprakritihi aspect of Bhagavan, we say, is satyam, and this aparaprakriti aspect of Bhagavan is mithya. Mithya means what? It is not unreal, nor is it real. So mithya is a Sanskrit word for which there is no equivalent word in European language. Mithya has to be understood as mithya, that's all. We can say as though real, isn't it? As though real. So here the whole jagat is also what? Is as good as the non-substantial form and name ocean, which means the universe also. Just as without the water, how the form and name ocean is mithya, is non-substantial form and name. So without this reality, the para prakritihi, the Jagat, Aparaha Prakriti Jagat is also what? As good as non-existent only. In fact, this Mithya, Jagat is Mithya, this Atma, the reality is Aparaha Prakriti is Brahma. Isn't it? We say Satyam and the whole Jagat is Mithya. And where do the Mithya waves rise from? Where do the Mithya waves exist? Where do they resolve? In the water. Similarly here, all these innumerable countless beings which constitute this whole Jagat originate from this reality, exist there, resolve there also, which means they do not exist outside of this reality. So Mithya, when you say Mithya, what about when the waves themselves are Mithya, means what about the movement of waves? The wave forms are Mithya. What Mithya of waves? Waves are Mithya. The waves are moving here and there. What about their movement? Motion. That's also Mithya. They come to Satyam. Waves are Mithya, their motion is Satyam. You can't say that. So Mithya waves movement is also Mithya only. This is Satyam, isn't it? Therefore, there's no real movement. There's a seeming movement of the seeming forms in the only truth called water. The same way here, the only truth here is what? Chaitanyam Brahma, Atma is only truth. And which this, the whole Jagat is also what? Jagat is Mithya, all the forms are Mithya, names are Mithya, and all the movements and actions and everything is also what? Mithya only. And what about this? We talk about the movement and the motion and the function of the, everything happening in the universe. Only seeming. That's why in Mandikam I explained, the whole Jagat is seeming motion in motionless consciousness. There's no real, isn't it? Seeming. Everything is seeming here. And here, that's why, how many seeds are there for all the waves? Waves originate, exist and resolve. The water is the only permanent seed from where the waves originate, exist and resolve. Water is like the bijam, isn't it? Like the seed. Not a feed, don't technically seed. Cause here. Similarly here, the eternal cause, the source of origination, existence and resolution of all the beings, the entire universe is what? The Atma, the consciousness, which is the Paraprakriti of Ishvara. And apart from the Atma, the Paraprakriti, what else is there? Anatma Prapancha, which is Aparaprakriti. Whether they manifest or they resolve, unmanifest, is what? It is inseparable. Never ever there is Jagat, which is inseparable, which exists independent of Bhagavan. Jagat is Bhagavan. Again is implied here. Same fact is repeated in different ways. Isn't it? That's why in Shastram it is said, even though one fact is repeated, generally when something once said is repeated, it's called Punarukti Doshaha. Error of repetition. In Vedanta Shastram, that error is not accepted. Because what is taught is something subtle fact, isn't it? Until therefore, any number of times it is allowed to repeat. Repetition is to reinforce. Well, it's understood, it's for reinforcement. Not it understood, it is for understanding. So repetition is not an error as far as Vedanta Shastram is concerned. So that's why same thing is put in different ways for us to be able to see the same fact differently. That is why being in a Shastra class itself is what? Repeatedly we are helped to see the same fact repeatedly. And this is called what a class itself is. We understand the fact. Attention is placed to be with the fact. If you are able to see the fact as it is unfolded, as it is taught, it is the class itself is contemplation. Meditation. Dhyanam. As long as your mind is here, it doesn't go to the packing the rice or something. It is dhyanam only. Isn't it? Doesn't go anywhere. Therefore, so bijam mam sarvabhutanam vidhi partha sanatanam. He partha mam sarvabhutanam sanatanam bijam vidhi. Aham sanatanam bijam. Mam sanatanam bijam vidhi. Aham buddhimatam. Aham buddhimatam buddhihi asmi. Tejasvinam tejaha asmi. Tejaha cha tejascha asmi.
Balam balavatam chaham. Balam balavatam chaham. Kamaraga vivarjitam. Kamaraga vivarjitam. Balam balavatam chaham. Balam balavatam chaham. Kamaraga vivarjitam. Kamaraga vivarjitam. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. Kamosmi bharatarshabha. Kamosmi bharatarshabha. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. Kamosmi bharatarshabha. Kamosmi bharatarshabha.
So he says, aham balam asmi. He says cha means and, because he has been narrating what he is, you know, Bhagavan, I am the intelligence among of the intelligent people, I am the, you know, brilliance of the brilliant people. So here he is continuing to say cha and aham balavatam balam asmi. I am the strength of the strong people. I am the strength of the strong. But which strength? So he says, kama raga vivarjitam. Okay? Kama raga vivarjitam. Actually, the absolute strength is a strength. The strength is free from what? Kama and raga. Kama raga vivarjitam balam. In fact, kamaha means desire. And ragaha means, literally we say like, here you can say attachment. Because the word kamaha stands for both raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. So kamaha, if it means desire, the word ragaha is used along with the word kamaha. Already raga is implied in the very word kama. The likes and dislikes are included in the kama, the desire itself. The one word desire stands for both likes and dislikes, raga and dvesha. But kamaha means desire. Desire is a one coin having likes and dislikes as two sides. Like is also desire. Dislike is also desire. It's a want. Isn't it? Both the likes and dislikes are two sides of the one coin called desire. Well, kamaha is understood already. Again the word raga has come. But the word ragaha means attachment. Understand? So attachment, what is attachment? What does the word attachment mean here? See, being attached to something means being dependent on something. Being attached means being dependent. Not physically clinging together. No. Being attached means being dependent. Being detached means being independent. But we have a wrong understanding. Being attached means being physically together or being in the vicinity of people. Being detached means keeping away from oneself, keeping away from the world physically. No. The detachment and attachment does not mean any physical distance. Attachment, even if you are away from a person physically, still you can be attached to the person. Whether physically or close also, you can be detached. What it means is, attachment means being dependent is called being attached. And being independent is called being detached. And attachment, so being dependent on what, for what? Being dependent on a given thing, or a person, or a situation for one's happiness and security means being attached. Being independent means, being detached means if you are independent of the person or people or society situations for happiness and security, it is detachment. So independence is detachment, dependence is attachment. And that's why it is, dependence is emotional. So physically we are all interdependent. Physical interdependence is inevitable, but emotional independence is possible. Emotionally we are dependent, naturally, isn't it? When we mistake the world or people or relationship or anything here in the world as a source of happiness or security, and we are dependent, we are attached to the things, isn't it? And if we don't have them, we feel very weak. We don't have the person whom I'm dependent on for my happy security, that person is not there, I feel so weak, I cannot manage, handle, so frightening. The money I have, I'm so dependent on my money, income. Of course, without income, you can't eat food, the same, very, very important money. But you need not be dependent on money for happiness and security. Isn't it? So suppose I lose money, I feel I get frightened, so anxious. So money or association, relationship, friends, people, husband or wife, or children, even objects we possess, the assets we have, so we are, the bank balance we have, so many things. All those things, all the artha in any form, which you are dependent on for your security. You need artha for life, for living this life, for infrastructure's sake, but not for happiness and security, isn't it? But we become, unknowingly, we mistake the world. When I say world, now you can understand, world means what? People, objects, things, situations, relationship, isn't it? We become dependent on the world for our security and happiness. We have mistaken the world as a source of security and happiness. We depend on the world for happy security means we are attached to the world. So attachment is emotional, called emotional dependence. Being dependent on the world for happiness and security is called being dependent, being attachment, which is emotional dependence. Attachment is emotional dependence. And detachment is emotional independence. Once you know world is not the source of security or happiness, and you grow out of desire for world, objects in the world for happiness, and if you understand that you are the only source of security and happiness, Bhagavan is the only source of happiness and security, and you become detached, isn't it? And then you are the strongest person. See, as long as you are dependent on the world for happiness and security, you are detached to the world, you are a weak person, because there will always be fear of losing. But once you understand the source of happiness and security is on Bhagavan, and which is none other than your own Swarupam, when you understand, and if you are not dependent on the world for happiness and security, and then also you are strong. No way. In independence there is strength. In dependence there is weakness. Absolute knowledge is absolute strength. In independence there is independence. There is strength. And that strength is what? And Balavan, the real strong person, is the wise person. You can say wise person. And the person who is independent of the world for one's happiness and security, for whom the only source of happiness and security is the truth, which is Bhagavan, and which is none other than one's own self, one's real nature. Such a person has a strength. His strength is what? Devoid of kama raga vivarjitam. Okay, the strength which is devoid of desire and attachment. Kama raga vivarjitam. The strength which is devoid of desire and attachment. Kama raga vivarjitam. And the person who has the strength is a strong person, Balavan. Of those Balavatam, of those strong people, I am the strength of the strong people. Who is strong according to the Shastram? The wise person is strong. Knowledge is strength. The knowledge bond, detachment is what? Strength. Independence is strength. Isn't it? Now that he is devoid of desires, he is not dependent on the fulfillment of desires or the world, objects of the world for his happiness and security. And this person has the strength, and they are the strong people. I am the very strength of the strong people. Bhagavan says, what it means is, not only the physical forms, not only the perceptible forms, even the subtle phenomena, obtaining strength, brilliance, intelligence, these are all me. Everything is Bhagavan. There can't be somebody called Balavan without the Balam. How can you call somebody strong without the strength? What makes the person strong is the strength, and the strength itself is Bhagavan. Isn't it? Kamaraga vivarjitam balam balavatam kamaraga vivarjitam balam cha aham asmi. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu.
Dharma viruddho bhuteshu.
Kamosmi bharatarshabha.
Kamosmi bharatarshabha.
Not that. Hey bharatarshabha. O exalted among Bharata, people of Bharata clan, aham kamaha asmi, I am the very desire. Which desire? In all the beings, there is no being which can be without a desire. There can't be people, human beings without desire. Human beings are here means they are manushyaha. Why? They have mind. And mind is there means definitely there must be desires. There cannot be a human being without a mind. There cannot be a mind without a desire. Okay? There must be desires. And so on all the beings, I am the very desire. And which desire? Dharma aviruddha kamaha. I am the desire which does not impel a wrong action. See, desires impel the actions, isn't it? Any action you do is what? Expression of the desire. Impelled by the desire. If there is no desire at all, I tell you, we'll not do any actions. Any action we do is expression of the desire or the need. The need and the desire gets expressed in the form of any action, any motion, any movement. So here, dharma aviruddha means the desires sometimes, when the desires rise, they can impel you to go against dharma. the force of the desire is such, and then when you're so dependent on the fulfillment of the desire for happiness, security, then you will not mind even going against dharma to get fulfill your desire. Isn't it true? Sometimes, why people do wrong actions? People are okay, they're all nice people. Poor people, they don't know how to handle their disease. Desires rise. Desire is a subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, which rises. So desires are very natural. But desires, in order to fulfill the desires, we have to act. So actions are impelled by our desires only. But those actions, if they go against dharma, they transgress, they make you go against dharma. Transgress the dharma, values. So, but transgressing values, you have to fulfill your desire, means that is dharma viruddha kamaha. The desire which is opposed to dharma. Isn't it? Desire itself is not opposed to dharma. When the desire which rises in your mind make you do the action which is against dharma, isn't it? It's called dharma viruddha kamaha. The desire which impels you to do an action which is against values, it is desire opposed to dharma. If the desires arise, suppose the desires do not impel you to do actions which are not against dharma, then they are desires which are unopposed to dharma. Desires which impel you to do actions which are in conformity with dharma, called dharma aviruddha kamaha. Okay, so in your prayers, always we say, O Lord, may all the prayers be fulfilled. Please answer all the prayers. But there we say carefully. We don't know who are sitting and what all prayers they have, we don't know. So carefully say, dharma aviruddha pratanaha sapalaha bhavantu. May all the prayers which are not opposed to dharma be fulfilled. Isn't it? Some are sitting there with cunning people and all them praying. This would happen. Something wrong. Wrong prayers may be there. Very, very particular, no? When you say towards the end, all the prayers which are not opposed to dharma be fulfilled. We say that in the pujas. I don't know whether you heard it when the priests say that also. All the priests will say, dharma aviruddhaha prarthanaha saphalaha bhavantu. The prayers, some people can go and pray, the other person may become pray for something. Sometimes prayers people very, they're so sad and upset and the saddest. Well, they pray for their own well-being or not, they can pray for others' unhappiness. Isn't it? And that's why dharma aviruddhaha kamaha, we say only prayers which are not against dharma be fulfilled. It's also another prayer. Similarly, here, dharma aviruddhaha kamaha ahamasmi. I am the very desire which does not impel any action which is against dharma. Okay? I am the very desire is unopposed to dharma. What about the desire which are opposed to dharma? They are also Bhagavan only. But here, immediate doubt will come. Oh, dharma, desire which unopposed to dharma is Bhagavan. Okay, what about desire opposed to dharma? Something else or what? No, that's also Bhagavan. Bhagavan here, he says, this expression is what? I am everything. Everything here is Bhagavan only here. Dharmi is Bhagavan, dharmaha is also Bhagavan. Isn't it? And then desire is Bhagavan, the one who is desirous, one who has the desire is also Bhagavan. The desired object also is Bhagavan. That is the idea here. So here it is just, yes, to say everything is Bhagavan, such an elaboration of what has been said earlier. He Bharatarshava, dharma bhuteshu, in all beings, dharma avruddha kamaha aham asmi.
ಏಚೈವ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಾ ಭಾವಾಃ ಏಚೈವ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಾ ಭಾವಾಃ ರಾಜಸಾಸ್ತಾಮಸಾಶ್ಚಯೇ ಯೇಚೈವ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಾ ಭಾವಾಃ
ಯೇಚೈವ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಾ ಭಾವಾಃ
ರಾಜಸಾಸ್ತಾಮಸಾಶ್ಚಯೇ ರಾಜಸಾಸ್ತಾಮಸಾಶ್ಚಯೇ ಮತ್ತಯೇವೇತಿ ತಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿ
ಮತ್ತಯೇವೇತಿ ತಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿ
ಮತ್ತಯೇವೇತಿ ತಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿ
ಮತ್ತಯೇವೇತಿ
ತಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ನತ್ವಹಂ ತೇಷು ತೇಮಯಿ
ನತ್ವಹಂ ತೇಷು ತೇಮಯಿ
ನತ್ವಹಂ ತೇಷು ತೇಮಯಿ
ನತ್ವಹಂ ತೇಷು ತೇಮಯಿ
ಸಿ ಒನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಪೀಟೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿಪೀಟೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿಪೀಟೆಡ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ರಿಡ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಟು two aspects para prakritihi apara prakritihi and these two prakritis para prakritihi is higher nature apara prakritihi is inferior nature these two prakritis are two aspects which constitute Ishwaraha Bhagavan of them one is satyam one is mithya and these two are essentially one and the only reality. These two aspects, para prakriti and apara prakriti, the higher and inferior natures, the two aspects which constitute Ishvara are essentially one and the only reality. Two orders of the only reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Now you know very clearly Ishwaraha Bhagavan is a temporary qualification attributed to the only reality. Is it looked at as the one obtaining in twofold aspects as parana para prakritihi. The same reality obtaining as a knower of the apara prakritihi, the jagat dham of in terms of jagat is called Jivaha. Isn't it? The Jivaha, the reality which enjoying the status of being the knower as a Jiva is also the Lord, essentially the same reality. The Lord is also what? Essentially the same reality. In fact, the two aspects are the two aspects of Ishvara constitute the Ishvara here. Therefore, all that is here is only Bhagavan. This is the fact. And the whole jagat is Ishvara. And we look at it, I made it very clear, the jagat is only a form, a name given to a form which is nothing but essentially the Lord, which have these two prakritis as their yoni. All the beings here have these two aspects of Ishvara. These two aspects which constitute Ishvara, the Lord, as their yoni, as a source of origin. Isn't it? Which means, yoni means cause means, if Bhagavan Ishvara is the cause, the whole jagat is the effect means, the jagat does not exist independently outside of Bhagavan. Bhagavan is inseparable from the jagat. The whole jagat is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is in the form of the jagat. This is our concept of God. And to make this fact, really, drive home this fact, repeated, certain things are repeated. Now he says, what is this jagat? The jagat is nothing but the entire cosmos is nothing but, consists of all these different beings which are predominantly rajasic, predominantly tamasic, predominantly sattvic. Isn't it? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha, all that is gunas. Gunas are three different names attributed to the threefold manifest powers. The power of knowledge, power of activity, power of inertia, manifest, are given three different names. As Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. You cannot see the gunas through physical eyes. You understand the power of threefold powers manifest. The manifest powers are given three different names. Don't go and search for three gunas. You can't see through physical eyes the gunas. Three gunas are names given to the manifestation of threefold powers. The power of knowledge, power of activity, power of inertia are given three different names. And therefore, and what about all this? The whole jagat is what? Forms, names and functions. And what are they? They are all manifestations of threefold powers. Therefore, the whole jagat is full of, constituted of, consists of the beings which are predominantly sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. There is nothing other than here, isn't it? You can say the jagat is, you can say rajasaha, tamasaha, tattvikaha, bhavaha constitute the universe. Another way of looking at the jagat. What is this universe? The universe is of beings which are, isn't it? Which are rajasa, which are beings of predominantly rajasic, sattvic and tamasic aspects. Beings, that's all. Therefore he says, Yecha eva sattvikaha bhavaha. They are beings and things which are predominantly sattvic. There are beings which are predominantly rajasic. There are beings which are predominantly tamasic also. The proportion may vary in all the beings, but every being has what? Every being is a mixture of three gunas. Every being has what? Everything has all the three gunas. But which guna is predominant in which? The predominance of gunas may be different. But all the beings have all the three gunas. Everything in this world is what? You can say trigunaha. Everything here is, has three gunas. What about our physical body is what? Everything has, every being has three gunas. We are all, each one of us are bundle of three gunas only. That is power of knowing, there is the power of action, is it? Activity, the power of inertia also. That's why we dose also in the class. Isn't it? Isn't everything, all the three gunas are in every being. You can see every, there's nothing which is not, don't go and search for three gunas. Even the non-living thing also what? Non-living or living, mobile or immobile, in every being, there are all the gunas are there. But one guna is a predominant in everything. For in keeping with the predominance of gunas, we can say sattvikaha bhavaha. Beings and things which are predominantly sattvic. Ajasaha gunaha. Tamasaha gunaha. The beings which are now predominantly sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. All these beings constitute what? This whole jagat. So he says, ye cha eva. And I am this and this and he was telling. And also, ye cha eva sattvikaha bhavaha, rajasaha bhavaha, tamasaha cha e bhavaha. And those, all these beings, you know, which are originated from sattva, arjasa, tamas, all of them mattaha eva. Whether all these beings are from me alone. Mattaha eva means from me alone. Arjasaha bhavaha is said to be predominantly sattvic, which are born of sattva, they are also from me. Which are predominantly rajasic, which are born of rajas, they are also from me. Which are born of tamas, they are also from me. Which means all the beings are from me alone. Mattaha eva iti tan viddi. May you understand all these beings of different origins, beings of different gunas. All of them are originally from me alone. originally from me alone. Therefore, te mayi, therefore all of them are in me alone. They originate from me, but they're all in me. Exactly like waves originate from the water, therefore all the waves are in the water. Isn't it? Where do they exist? They exist in the very truth from where they originate. But Bhagavan says, te mayi na tu aham teshu. But I am not in them. They are all in me. The beings which originate originally, which originate from me, originate from me. So I am in them. I am not in all of them, but they are all in me. Aham teshu na. Aham na teshu. Te mayi. They are all in me, but I am not in them. Is it clear? They are all in me, I am not in them. What does it mean? They are all in me, I am not in them. It's a good thing. No, hey? All the waves are in the water, but the water is not in the waves. The entire ocean is in the water, water is not in the ocean. How come all these days we've been saying, where is the water? Water is in the ocean. But now we have to say what? Water is not in the ocean is in the water. How can we say that? Because ocean is a form, ocean is a word, denoting a given form which does not exist independent of, without, away from, apart from the substance called water. Ocean is a substantive, the substance is water. Isn't it? Without the substance called water, the word ocean will be non-substantial form. If you take the water as a substance, okay, and is there a substance for the word ocean? Minus water, without the water, water is a substance. There's a word water, for which there is a substance, isn't it? But if you remove the water, a substance of the word water, and will there be substance for the substantive ocean? Ocean is a non-substantial form, isn't it? Is it clear? Which is in what? Which is in what? Ocean is in the water. Water is not in the ocean. Which is dependent on what? Ocean, the form and name are dependent on the water for the existence. But the ocean, water is not dependent on the ocean for its existence. Similarly, the entire jagat is in Chaitanyam. The entire jagat is in what two aspects, para, apara, prakritis, which constitute Ishvara. The whole jagat is in Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not in the jagat. Because there's no Bhagavan other than the truth. Okay. So Bhagavan as the truth is the substance. Minus Bhagavan, the truth, jagat will be non-substantial word. Okay. Substance of the substantive jagat is Bhagavan, which is what? para and apara prakritis, essentially reducible to one truth called Atma or Brahma. Is it clear? Bhagavan is the substance of the substantive Jagat. Why? Bhagavan is both para and apara prakritis. And both the prakritis are what? Essentially one and the only truth, only reality. Is it which is imperfectum Atma or Brahma? Is it clear? Therefore, Bhagavan says, Aham Teshuna. Natu Aham Teshu. I am not in any of these beings which are Sattvikaha, Rajasaha, Tamasaha, Bhavaha. All these beings, don't get confused. All the forms and names which are here are nothing but Sattvikaha, Rajasaha, Tamasaha, Bhavaha. Bhavaha means beings. All the beings which are here are said to be products of, they are born of Rajas and Tamas and Sattva. All of them are originally from me alone. Therefore, they are all in me. They are all originated from me. They are all in me. But I am not in any of them. Which means what? I am not in any of them means, why I am not in any of them? They are all me. They are all Bhagavan. So where is Jagat? Jagat is not in, it's a Jagat is Bhagavan. Okay, ocean is water. The whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Sattvikaha Bhavaha are Bhagavan. Ajasaha Bhavaha beings are Bhagavan. The beings which are born of Tamas are also Bhagavan. Whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Why? Because Bhagavan is the substance of the substantive universe. Bhagavan is an other name for the substance of the substantive universe. Jagat is another name for Bhagavan. All that is here is only Bhagavan. All that is here, what? Actually, nothing but twofold aspects of Bhagavan. Para and apara prakritis constitute Bhagavan, which alone here in the form of the knower and the known. Everything is reduced to one word, Bhagavan, which is essentially the truth. Is it clear? Aham teshu na te mayi. They are all in me. Bhagavan says, I am not in them. This you have to understand. Is it clear or not? Still doubt is there? Why Bhagavan is not in them? That is the problem, isn't it? We can say that, but not essentially. Clear? So everything is in Bhagavan. Where are they? They are not there. How can Bhagavan be there in them? Okay, finished.
Ye chaiva sattvika bhavah.
Ye chaiva sattvika bhavah.
Rajasastamasaschaye.
Rajasastamasaschaye.
Mattaye veti tan viddhi. Natvaham teshu te mahi.
So it's the prosody is like this. Ye cha ye sattvikaha bhavaha, ye rajasaha bhavaha, ye tamasaha cha bhavaha, te santi tan Sattvikan, Rajasan, Tamasan, Bhavan, Mattaha Yeva Iti Viddhi. Te Mayi Santi, Teshu Aham Na Asmi. I am not in them, but they are all in me. because they are me. They are myself. They are me. Yecha eva sattvikaha bhavaha, ajasaha bhavaha, tamasaha cha e bhavaha, tan sarvan bhavan, mattaha eva iti vidhi. Te mayi natu aham teshu. I am not in them, but they are all in me. I explained why they are all in me, why I am not in them. Bhagavan is not in anything. Bhagavan is not anything, but everything is in Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. The two ways of saying everything is in Bhagavan means there's no in and out. Between the truth, see, the truth and the satyam and mithya, there is no adhara adaya sambandha. Okay? There is no possessor possessed connection. Listen, water and between water and the ocean, there is no possessor possessed connection. They're inseparable, isn't it? Inseparable. Therefore, but what is dependent is mithya. What is independent is satyam. So water with reference to ocean is independent, satyam. The ocean is a form, you know, which is dependent on water for its very existence is mithya. Isn't it? Therefore, mithya is satyam. But satyam is not mithya. That's what is said here. The same way, here the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is essentially of the nature of knowledge, which alone is there as the material and the efficient cause of the universe, which alone is as two different aspects, para prakriti and apara prakriti, constitute even the Ishvara, the Lord, and that alone, these two aspects are there as two causes here. All the beings have these two aspects of two prakritis as the causes, means the whole universe is inseparable from this Ishvara. The whole universe is Ishvara. But Ishvara is not anything in the world. That is what is implied here. So when you want to bow to Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan, isn't it? That is why we do 108 names, Archana, I tell you. So with this I elaborate tomorrow. We are going to see tomorrow. Now why there is samsaraha? What is samsaraha? Why there is samsaraha? And how to become free from this samsara? The cause of samsara and the solution to free ourselves from this samsara, bondage. That's going to be discussed tomorrow. Okay? But now let me tell you here. In our prayers and pujas, no, we are supposed to do, always we do, 108 names minimum. Or we always do multiples of 9. We do Ashta Uttara Shatanamavali or Ashta Uttara Sahasranamavali or Ashta Uttara Lakshanamavali. 1,008, 10,008, 1,008, 108. We always do this multiples of 9. Take the number multiples of 9 we offer. That is because there are 54 sounds, vowels and consonants in Sanskrit Bhasha. Possibly pronounceable sounds are 54 in number. Vowels and consonants. So whatever language, you know, whatever is there, all the languages, all the words are not outside of this 154 sounds. 54 means number 9. 5 plus 4, 9. Isn't it? So number 9 stands for 54 sounds, vowels and consonants. And all the words, letters are what? Within 54 sounds only. all the sentence words are what? Basically sounds. All the sentences are what? Basically 54. No sentence, no word is outside of the 54 sounds. Isn't it? Therefore, all the objects are where? All the objects or any object indicated by any word is not outside of the 54. Number 9. Isn't it? Therefore, when we do 108 names, we can't go and bow to Bhagavan the whole Jagat. How can this fraction, tiniest fraction of the huge whole, can go and touch the whole? Is it possible? Bhagavan's Rupam, Virad Rupam, Vishwa Rupam, which is inclusive of you, the tiny fraction. Isn't it? That whole pervades the fractions. Fullness pervades the fraction, but fraction can never pervade the whole. Isn't it? Therefore, you yourself being the fraction of the fullness, the whole, if the whole is incomprehensible for this mind, and imagine how can you go and bow to touch everything and do namaskaram to everything like this? Impossible. That is why we are symbolically, we have this word 108 names or 1008 names, which means 1008 names stands for 9. 9 stands for 54. 54 stands for sounds and vowels and consonants, and they stand for the sound words. Words stand for the objects. But just by doing this namaha, 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 108 times namaha you do, it is as good as going and putting your head, touching feet of every being in the world. Really. That is why we do that. Okay? We don't need to go and namaskaram to everybody. Sitting at home, even just not even doing once, not even putting head down once, standing here also, just by saying Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Sudhaya Namaha, Trivikramaya Namaha, Padmanabhaya Namaha, Hrishikeshaya Namaha, by doing 108 times, your head has touched, is as good as having your head put at the feet of every being here, touching Bhagavan the whole. Isn't it? Why? Bhagavan is the whole. Sit here. That is why your malas are all 108 beads. Or 54 beads. You noticed 54 beads will be there in malas, jap malas. Or 108 will be there sometimes. So that you don't miss anything. The bead broken is siddharadram. Not anything dharadram. Because bead number count will be less. So you would have missed Bhagavan, a little bit of Bhagavan. So, they say, see that all the mala has either 108 beads or 54 beads. So when you do the japam, you don't miss out. Even then you make mistakes, that's a different thing. You fall asleep, you miss number sometimes. But generally we say 108 is upalakshanam for Bhagavan the whole. Number 9 stands for the whole, multiples of 9. Is it okay? Because again the 9 reduced to 3. Om. 54 is reduced to what? Om. I say Om is a sound symbol of Bhagavan the whole. Om the whole. 9 the whole. Multiples of 9 the whole. Para, apara, prakritis are the yonis. For all the beings. And these two prakritis constitute Ishvara. And this Ishvara is a title attributed to the one and the only reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, Vishwameva Bhagavan. That's why Om Vishwasmai Namaha. Salutations unto Bhagavan in the form of the universe. Vishwarupaya Namaha.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.